This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Much appreciation to the man, B. Scott from Hiram Clark, for joining us all last hour, as he always does on a Tuesday. Always a blast to catch up with the homie. Great thoughts.
Big ones.
I'm not to say that he has ever had bad thoughts.
Oh, sure. He's coming here with some bad ones.
Name one.
I'm just kidding.
Nah, but I was very intrigued, and maybe I was just happy to. Sometimes it is about just hearing what you want to hear from somebody you respect. Maybe that's what it's about, because I was like, yeah, someone else with me on this left field Altuve thing.
Yeah.
Well, but again, I'm reserving judgment till we get the fellas out there to West Palm Beach, Sean and Seth, next week.
Next week.
And a Spo. That's also very important. Baseball Spo out there. Next week, appreciation to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending our fellas out there for a little spring baseball, see what's happening with the team. So I'm excited for that, and for them to give me a little, give me some ideas of what they're seeing with Altuve at left.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. Also, you can have some boots on the ground in Vegas as long as you're listening to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. An hour each day is your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, where you'll have an opportunity. You and three friends, in fact, will head to Vegas to stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas and enjoy the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim as part of the Ultimate College Basketball Championship. Plus, you'll have 20 grand, 20 G's in your pocket to help you to spend while you're in Sin City. So make sure you're on the Odyssey app listening that way. An hour each day to Sports Radio 610 for a chance to win. We want our winner to come from the great city of Houston, or at least from our listenership here on Sports Radio 610. Do any of these likely free agents intrigue you in the NFL space for your Houston Texans? That is the question we are asking here because, we're about a month out from free agency hitting.
It's kind of starting to ramp up now that the tag season is here.
Yes, exactly. You know? Teams are starting to now really contend with what their roster looks like right now. Who are the guys that they're going to have to, you know, say goodbye to? I think we all agree to the idea that there's no one that you would even consider franchise tagging outside of like Stephon Diggs, and that doesn't even seem reasonable. And I guess before we even get there, why don't we talk about the free agents that you have on this team right now, your roster, before you start looking at free agents outside. Do any of the free agents that you have right now, or that are, you know, are free agents for you, are any of them must keeps for you?
Okay, so let me go through the list, and you and the listeners and Figgy.
Are we about to do a segment called reading?
Well, naming.
Okay, very good, very good. Fair enough.
I mean, it's an easy yes or no. Does it intrigue you? Is it a must have? Is it whatever? Stephon Diggs, we've dug into. I think we all have kind of established that, you know, if we can, yes. If it's value, yes. If you get someone else, you still have to deal with the dead cap hit. So just a quick yay or nay on Stephon Diggs.
I would like Stephon Diggs, but I feel like it's going to take a while to get there. I think he wants to test his market. I would want him to test his market. And according to SpoTrack, which is not, it's not the end all be all, but his average market value is about 13.5, which seems like it's reasonable. I feel like you maybe can find some level of answers for cheaper.
Yeah, and but, speaking of B. Scott, he brought up Christian Kirk.
Yeah, but I would like him to return, but I'm not willing to say that that's a must return on Stephon himself.
Yeah, I got the same exact answer. Like, for the right price, maybe, but I'm looking elsewhere for right now.
Yeah, unless I'm even beyond...
unless he wants to return for a good deal.
I'm beyond just like maybe. I would like him back.
Of course.
But I just...
Value.
I feel like they're... Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let me go through these a little quicker, and spoiler alert. One, maybe two at most of the Texans.
You got one in a possible?
One in a possible.
Are you a space player?
No,
that's a no.
Nah, no.
That's a no. Too damn space, long player, answer.
Space players don't go. Space players either say yes,
all right,
or they immediately challenge you to a game with bravado.
Wayne asks you if you know how to play.
Spades ain't a game where you half ass it at all.
Well, let me answer now. For about 10 years, I was that guy.
Oh, okay.
About 10 years, and then it just sort of faded away. Like I
would. Wow. So why was you stumbling over the answer then?
He didn't want to be challenged. That's what he knows what it is.
I was like, oh yeah, every time. but not. It's been a while. That's
sorry,
that's
I don't want to continue to move away from the point because I want to talk Texas.
No, we can
here,
talk space.
But this makes me think who at the station is a good spades player. Well, just keep that in the back of your mind.
Right.
We'll keep that. I'll kind of
so one and a possible for me that I would even keep. So I'm gonna go through them and give
you
me
go
your
on board.
Answer.
going board.
Robert Woods? No.
I don't think you need to bring him back necessarily. He was 7'6". There's no way he
just jump in.
I'm surprised he made the team.
Yes.
I thought he was going to get cut this year or last year.
Eric Murray?
Eric Murray's interesting. I think he covered himself.
He lasted longer than I thought, too, man. That was a Bill O'Brien special right there.
Mario Edwards is my one.
That's your one?
I think so. Fits the system. Good season. I don't think he's going to be expensive.
He made 1.6 this past year, 1.6 mil at the age of 31. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still relative.
He's got 2-3 years.
Yeah, he's still got some time, and I think he played pretty damn well for you.
And interestingly, Foley is my possible. He's another free agent.
Yeah, and you spent a little bit more on him. He was a $5 million guy.
I think he might get an offer.
That's fair. That's fair. He might get an offer. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that's the place where you're looking to kind of add, especially if you can add like a high level player. We were just talking about this with B. Scott before he walked out of the studio. I think that interior defensive line is still something that they're definitely going to address on draft night in April. I just don't know how high, because there's a large pool of them. It was Daniel Jeremiah saying that at defensive tackle. He has 24 guys that he believes to be starter caliber versus 12 in, I think, an average year or last year.
Yeah.
The tough part about that is there's a lot of guys that are starter caliber, but that feels like that's on the level of Foley and Mario and those guys. But it feels like you would really love to possibly get somebody who's a level higher, and I don't know that you have a lot of those.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now you had a great rotation of guys that were starter caliber. Maybe it wouldn't be bad to have one of those types of guys on cost controlled on a rookie deal. I just don't know that you wouldn't want to use premium first round, second round pick on them. I think maybe third round and further is when I open myself up.
And this is one that I might be on an island on, and it's very likely that that Reggie's going to throw a pen at me when I say this. But Dare Ogunbowale, I think I'm good.
On keeping him?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, on not keeping him.
All right,
on
well.
Letting him walk.
All right, yeah. Look. I always knew you was trying to get Nigerians out of here.
No, was that guy?
No, Dare 1.5 is what you were paying him this past season. And I feel like Dare's in a place where he's a 6-year vet.
Mm-hmm.
As a running back, I think people know the game, man. I don't know that there's going to be a situation where someone swoops in and wants to pay Dare a whole bunch of money. I think he serves more value to you as a team than any other value in any other team in the league. Like he's you know, just good culture guy, been here. Kick a little bit. So
I mean, if you get him for 1.6 again,
I'm about
to
say, how much you paying them?
1.6 for 1 year, okay, I'm good.
And that's why I think that you could very easily kind of. Now, of course, the question was, is there anybody you need to have? And I think the answer is, I don't think you need to have Dare. Yes. But I think that that's one of those things where it's low enough stakes, and I think he's comfortable here. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's going to be
special
out here taxing
teams,
or
kicking,
anything.
Backup kicker.
I think that all those things give you a level of comfort to where you probably have.
Neville Hewitt. I'm good.
Well, this is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Neville Hewitt is on here.
You got to cover tight ends.
Neville Hewitt is on here. Jake Hansen is on here as a restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. Who was the other one? There's another linebacker on here. Oh, that's right. Devin White is on here. Depth at linebacker, I know that that's one of those things where people have talked about, hey, what are the needs of this team? A wide receiver comes up immediately. Interior offensive line is probably before wide receiver. I don't know why I waited on saying that. And interior defensive line pops up as we were talking about. Linebacker's one that's popped up a little bit, and I was like, but depth at linebacker is really needed. And I feel like that's not something where you could just say, hey, we're just going to add all of these in free agency and the draft. Like, I think that you might need to retain some of these guys, and Neville is probably the one that, of those three that I named, that I think I'm most comfortable with. Jake Hansen would be the one at a low price, but they just seemed like they were very unwilling to play him. If they had another opportunity to play someone else, they did.
I'll let Figgy answer this one. Chris Boyd.
Did he play cornerback? In fact, nah. I was just going to say all these cornerbacks can miss me.
Yeah.
But not only, wasn't he the dude that every time he was kicking off, he was out here picking up yellow flags?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What about Derek Barnett?
Derek Barnett's interesting because I don't know that you'd be able to keep him. Like, even if you wanted to. I think this team might be coming to an interesting inflection point, which is you had a luxury of having a whole bunch of pass rushers that you could rotate in. And with the way that this salary cap is coming together for you this year, I do wonder if you might have to kind of forego some of those luxuries. Derek Barnett might be one of those luxuries.
Yeah.
29, and he definitely was not paid what he was capable of giving you or what he's capable of giving the team next
year. I love his game, but I think it might be time where he's going to look elsewhere.
I would love to have him back. I just I don't know that you have the possibility to on that particular front. Maybe he wants to be here to a point where he's not going to go wild on his market value, but again, according to Spotrac, his market value is 7 when you paid him 2 this past year.
Yeah.
So
MJ Stewart.
All these cornerbacks, man.
Yeah.
All these cornerbacks.
They sound like a bunch of special teams.
That's
man.
What I'm telling you. Like, maybe,
cornerback depth is something that you needed to figure out.
Maybe two of these dudes, you're like, yeah, we gotta have him back. You know, them back. Kendrick Green. No.
Yeah, I'm good.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. No. I don't want to say nobody needs to come back.
And that's an unreasonable way of going it. But especially if we're going on the need to come back, he don't need to come back.
Yeah. Miles Bryant.
Doesn't need to come back.
Yeah. Jerry Hughes fits with what you're talking about. And plus, he didn't even play that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like Hughes might be more gettable, though, on a return contract.
Maybe.
That he's a little bit older.
Yeah, I think he good, man.
Jeff Okuda.
Hey, man. Jeff Okuda. I saw Jeff Okuda get on his Ciara with his 1-2 step. Remember when Kevontae Turpin sent him on that 1-2 step?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I thought he was doing the stanky leg.
I'm sorry, fam. It can't
man,
be that.
That's it, man. They tried that experiment.
Irv Smith Jr.
That was a necessity, bringing Irv Smith in. I don't think you need to bring him back, especially when you talk about tight ends. Mm-hmm. The ones that you have accounted for are Dalton, Brevin, Cade, Teagan. You going to put Irv in the mix?
What about Teagan Quatoriano?
Nah, it's been real, man.
The offensive coordinator likes 13 personnel.
He can't even stay on the field, man.
Yeah. And then there's John Weeks.
Gotta. You need it.
You kind of have to have him.
Yeah.
Pay him the 1 year and see what happens.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad year or nothing.
Yeah.
And bring him back.
So the point is, like, it's time to upgrade, move on, let guys go that maybe get an extra year on their deal. I would say Foley and Mario Edwards,
which is interesting because, again, keeping that kind of rotation of guys that you have in the middle to a place that you like. But maybe one of those guys, because, again, I think you're right in that Foley might be commanding some money.
Mm-hmm.
And in the situation, you brought him in to give you what you wanted and you need, and you got it. Also, I do wonder how much do you factor in the games that Foley missed. Foley missed quite a few games due to injury here and there throughout the season. So I don't know, like, does that change your, and I guess Mario missed some games due to suspension, I guess, but does that change your outlook on those players at all?
I think, you know, the injuries always come into play, but that's a high leverage position, you know, that if you're going to have some injuries. It also depends on, you know, how bad were the injuries, basically. So it's an interesting spot, you know, with the Texans and the free agents that they have.
Ooh. From the 281, they say the Weeks era is capital O, capital V, capital E, capital R over, with Tucker Addington being added as a reserve future contract. He's a 27-year-old long snapper from Sam Houston State, relatively local.
Well, remember, they brought in somebody to compete with
him. It's definitely going to be some competition.
Be some competition, but Weeks just finds a way to get that ball back there quickly and never miss. So we'll see.
Another 281 mentioning Foley and Edwards are the only guys that they feel like
that's where I am.
Yeah. It does feel like that. Yeah. It just, I will say, though, I'm always hesitant to be like, no, because you got to fill a roster and you only got so many drafts, draft picks. Was it 6 this year? Obviously, free agency at a wider space. will be necessary to get in and like add some pieces. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I'm with you. Like, I don't think that there are ones that are like, there's a lot of ones that like absolutely need to be back besides like the value that you're able to get interior.
It's actually a good position to be in. You know, you build a relationship with you guys, an affinity for, you know, what they've done, and you're kind of cheering for them. But if we're talking, you know, hey, the old football is a business.
It's a business.
You know, it is. There's really two, maybe, that you feel like you have to get back. And Stephon Diggs, interestingly, is not one of them.
And
isn't that something?
That is interesting. How about this on the text line? Because I think we were going to get to like the likely free agents. Wider.
We can still do that.
We'll save that.
Yeah.
But this is one of those free agents that I think people are interested in, because when addressing the interior offensive line, which is one you absolutely need to do, I think a lot of people have gotten very comfortable with the idea of, just go draft one. But first rounders, I think you expect to immediately make an impact on a team. I think that's the way that I view a first round pick. Except interior offense or offensive line in general is one of those places where it's tough to kind of expect that. I think Seth has done a great job kind of detailing how any offensive lineman coming in their first year is kind of still has a long way to go to be in that, or maybe not a long way, but has a way to go to be like a real NFL player at the highest level of what you want. Other positions, maybe not that. So some people think maybe you go in the free agency route and maybe have some addressing of the interior of the offensive line. And one of those names that people would think of is Zach Martin. He's a surefire Hall of Famer from the Cowboys, rather. And somebody texted and said, asked me if I thought Zach Martin was done, if you pay him for like 1 year with that veteran status. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I have to say, I do think that he is relatively... Ooh, I was about to say that in a really disrespectful way.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm trying to think of the other way that I would say it, and I'm not finding a good way. So understand, I mean this as respectfully as I can say something disrespectful.
Done.
He is cooked product.
done.
Well done.
He is cooked product done, is the way that you started seeing that kind of in the year prior, honestly, as well. But this past year, it was not good from Zach Martin.
Yeah. He's not as bad as B. Scott's ribs that he was telling us about.
Yeah, it sounded like he didn't do a great job with the ribs, honestly. And the pride stopped him.
Yeah.
The pride stops
just
him from getting it right.
Text me if you don't want to call.
Or, I mean, you know other people as well.
Yes.
Lopez ain't the only one who know how to make some ribs. But no, I think Zach Martin, like a real supreme leadership guy, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But I would hate to have another guy that you go, we're going to bring him in. Leadership guy's done it. And he'll come in and do it. And then you come in and you get another guy that maybe is on the backside. Well, definitely on the backside.
A Matt Khalil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't necessarily.
You don't want no Matt Khalil.
Bite your tongue.
That was the more succinct way of saying it, but it's also a triggering way of saying it. So I wasn't going to go there, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions. And I have a koozie one I'm sure people will hate. We'll do that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, let's get started on confessions. I'm waiting for Figgy and Reggie and all the listeners to give me all the credit that I deserve.
Okay, for what?
I already know where this is going.
It happened right after our show yesterday. Right after I said, I got an idea to fix the All-Star game. How about a one-on-one tournament?
You're not getting credit. I'm just letting you know.
Thanks for listening, Kevin Durant.
Not an iota of credit for me.
Thanks for listening, Kyrie Irving. Lo and behold, yesterday afternoon, All-Star weekend, one-on-one tournament. Come on, you
not an iota of credit.
You gotta give it to me.
No, I don't. I was about to cuss. I don't gotta give you bleep. And you wanna know why? Does anybody remember when I had a confession a week ago or 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the unrivaled one-on-one tournament and how I thought that could be helpful for All-Star Weekend? No, I bet you don't.
Nobody remembers that.
I bet you don't.
Nobody remembers.
I actually remember that.
Front Office Sports reported yesterday afternoon after we got off air.
Yeah, this has been
one-on-one tournament, baby.
This has been a thing that's kind of bounced around a little
bit. It's been out there in the ether, but yeah. I put it in words I bet right you did. Here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Check the numbers, as Maxwell would say, on social media.
Yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Man, I've been with it. The problem is, again, it's all about the egos, but it's good to, if there's a few people saying this, I think you get a king of the court, you get a one-on-one type situation. I don't know. I still don't think it replaces the game. I think
it could be badass.
I'm like, do the game. Everybody knows what the game is. And then, but like, add that to Saturday night, because Saturday night is nasty.
No,
right now.
Make it the game more competitive. Teammates cheering each other. Well, more,
that actually leans into one of my confessions. Well, so I'll go ahead and step in here.
These are my confessions.
I gotta admit, not a lot of things like just straight up irk me to the point of like feeling the need to say something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does irk me in this that everybody comes into this with a general unwillingness to be entertained.
To what?
Have you noticed that? Like, I mean, a lot of things when it comes to the
NBA. Oh, you mean the All-Star
weekend? But like All-Star weekend?
Oh, no, a lot of people are like, it's going to suck.
Yeah,
sure enough, it sucks.
And look, I'm not here to tell you that all these things are great. No. I'm not going to insult your intelligence that way. There's a lot of things that they need to work on in ways in which it's getting worse. I used to always love Saturday night, even though I knew that Sunday night was going to be a little bit hard to watch at times.
Yeah.
They've made Saturday night worse as of right now. Mm-hmm. Like, and some of this is just, hey, have a little shame, have a little want to try, right? But there's a tacit acknowledgement. Like the three-point contest, y'all was mad at the three-point contest?
Eh.
Y'all just did not want to be entertained in some ways. Yeah. And I feel like that's one of the things that frustrates me. Especially, and then also the dunk contest. We come in with no sense of wonder, no sense of appreciation. And so like it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy when we go in knowing I'm not going to be entertained. And then, yes, you came out not entertained. Now, I understand why some people don't want to, right? The level of I'm going to invest like my hope in that they're going to deliver ultimately for them not come through. I get why you'd be upset by it.
Yeah.
I understand why you protect yourself. But we do got to acknowledge
my time on this.
We do got to acknowledge that we come into a lot of these.
My
a lot of
valuable
these things,
time.
A lot of these things immediately not coming in with any level of like possibility of being entertained.
No, I think there's something to that. But there's also something to it really wasn't good.
Oh, no.
You know, yeah, like if you thought, if you went in thinking it wasn't going to be good, and then it wasn't good, you were right.
Yeah.
You were right.
And I think especially if you sitting there trying to watch it, if you like, hey, I ain't listening to nobody else, and you sitting there trying to watch it, trying to give it a chance, and you like, man, what is Kevin Hart doing?
Yeah.
Like, where is the game at?
Yeah.
Why is so many damn commercials and stoppage and all that stuff?
No, I said yesterday, I tried. I really did try.
I'm proud of you. I'll give you credit for that.
All right.
But not for no one-on-one.
Not for the
one-on-one. Not at all.
These are my confessions.
So the other day, man, I ate something I haven't eaten since I lived in Houston, man. I had some ramen noodles, man.
What?
Like
at a restaurant, the good ones.
No.
Just regular?
The ones I grew up on.
Oh, wow.
The ones we used to get that 24-pack because it was cheap. I had some the other day, man.
That's good. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. This is my confession, though. I think I'm not sure what's going on with me because I feel like I've been having a taste for stuff I haven't eaten in a long time. I seen a Red Lobster commercial, man. With Blake Griffin.
Oh, I know which one you're talking
about. Oh, has it come to that for Blake?
Yeah.
It's come to that for
Blake,
huh?
He was in a Red Lobster commercial.
Okay.
Kind of got a taste for some Red Lobster now, man.
I saw you post on social media that you were eating ramen, and I sincerely mean the response that I had, which was, you need money.
Hey, it was pretty.
It's okay if you need money.
Hey, it was kind of good
too.
I'm like, damn.
Every once in a while, you go back to that touchstone food. You know, like I lived on Spam during college. Every once in a while, I'm in the grocery store and I'm like, oh, there's a can of Spam. Maybe I'll grab that.
My lived on food was I did frozen corn dogs. I did a mess ton.
But every once in a while, don't you kind of get the urge?
No,
I do.
I haven't had the urge for ramen noodles in years, man. Yeah. And I seen it in the pantry.
I still make bologna sandwiches for lunch sometimes. I love bologna because I grew up on it.
God bless you. I am.
That's something I haven't had since I was a kid,
dude. I might have had it last week.
In the past.
Yeah, at least a couple weeks ago.
I have left all those things.
Fried bologna.
Yeah. I feel like I subscribe to the theory that there's some things in your life that you just have a lifetime cap on, And I've reached my cap on some of those. One of those is that particular type of ramen noodles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then another one, honey buns. I ate so many honey buns as a kid. I'm honey bunned out. Now I will not eat another one. I'm good on
those. Those are just awful for you. I stopped eating those because they're like 9,000 calories.
Yeah. I think I'm getting to that point where I'm leaving the Flamin' Hot Cheetos alone, man.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's not good. I think the last couple times I had it, I really didn't feel good after that. And that's how you know I'm kind of getting old and washed up.
Yeah.
Because I used to eat about 8 of those bags. I used to eat like 8 bags a day, man. Mm-hmm. Now I can't. Like one little small bag.
You used to bring them like 2 and 3 at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you did.
You had an addiction.
Yeah. Now I'm low key.
And honestly, now you delivered.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm letting go of the chips. The good only chips I eat is the tortilla chips with dip and stuff like that. Yeah. But I've been staying away from the chips, man.
Look at you. Good for you.
I appreciate the 832. We might need to ask a question, though. Figgy, how's the old lady doing? Because on the text line, they said Figgy having cravings means one thing.
Oh, no.
Old lady pregnant.
That ain't happening.
Sympathy?
Hey, that's not happening over here, man. We already got a dog we don't want. We're trying to get rid of this damn dog, but that's another story.
Yeah. We'll get to that. These are my confessions. All right, I got to be honest. This is confessions. I doubted Reggie. I doubted him.
Mm. I doubt myself all the time.
No.
So
no,
welcome.
No.
Welcome to the party.
In a very specific way.
Oh, okay.
Because he's been doing, trying to learn Spanish. And I'm like, okay.
667 days, baby.
Yeah. I said, let's see how good he is. So I texted my yard guy today, and I texted him in Spanish because he doesn't speak English. And I showed Reggie the phone. I said, read that to me. Dude, he nailed it. Nailed it. And it got me thinking, I think periodically...
Throw me some Spanish tests?
I think periodically I'm going to test Reggie. So I just wrote down something on my computer screen. I want you to read it and translate it, because he translated it perfectly well. So I'm very proud. Because it's hard to read Spanish and translate.
So you want me to read it in Spanish and then give you the translation?
I'll read it in Spanish.
I was about to say, I was like, am I doing a whole bunch of stuff here?
I'll read it in Spanish. You tell me what it says. Si aprendo español, abriré un mundo completamente nuevo en lo que respecta a las citas.
All right, so if you learn Spanish, you'll open a completely new world. All right, so I'm
You're on it. You're 100%
right. The last part is giving me a little bit of troubles here
with respect to dating.
Ah, okay. See, yeah, that wasn't
so. If you
ain't hear me say I was trying to get these tickets to Grupo Frontera, man. Come on, let's go. Man.
There's a whole new...
There are reasons why this language is being added to what added to the
there's a whole
a black
new
man and no Spanish.
Yeah. That's money.
I'm gonna start telling people I'm a Dominican, baby. We about to get some things shaking.
Yeah, Jordan's my brother.
Yeah. That's right.
All you gotta do is get them tight ass white jeans
and then get a little cut in the eyebrows as well, and they'll know what time it is.
Just think, if you're a 32-year-old single man and you open up this whole new world of potential dates.
Oh, man. Just imagine you being on a date.
Yes.
And you at a Mexican restaurant, and you just start going in with Spanish.
Yeah. I'm trying to help you here, Reggie.
You might not make it to the car, man.
You don't need to help me. I've already been helping myself in that regard, I'll tell you that. These are my confessions. All right, I told you that I was going to give you a koozie confession, and here is my koozie confessions. I really, really dislike koozies.
I
might even say I hate koozies.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're useless. I think they're useless. I really do. I know that this was inspired or reminded of me. I've held this take for a while. This was reminded to me because Sean came through. He had like 3 koozies at work today. When he was sipping on whatever he was sipping on, he had the Orbit Astros koozie, he had the Texas koozie, he had a Dolly Parton koozie. And I'm like, I appreciate you showing your originality and all those things. This is just a thing I have to hold on to. Right? Like, you go out to these tailgates, people want to, you know, hey, here's a koozie. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it because I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But now this is like saying, here, you find something to do with this, right? Like, especially you use koozies often on like these cans or whatever. Mm-hmm. The can is disposable. The koozie's not. Now you just got, I have to keep track of this thing.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's not useful. I can hold a can. Mm-hmm. It's not that cold. I'm going to finish my drink pretty quickly. Like, why do I need this koozie for?
All right, so I think, tell me if I'm wrong here. I think what you really dislike is having so many koozies pile up.
Because
I'm there with you on that.
No.
I got maybe hundreds, at least dozens.
Also, like, I had this drink Well, let me go find a koozie. I never do that. Not once. I never did. Once. So, no, yeah. It's not having so many. It's having any. I don't use them.
Now,
they're useless.
Is this a, like, I was kind of curious. Is this a Texas thing? Just being, like, very koozie friendly? Because I never, I didn't even know what it was until I moved down here. And I'm kind of with Reggie on this one because I get koozie. I try to be polite and keep them.
Right.
But I never have a beer or a drink and say, man, I need a koozie.
When it's hot and you're on a boat, you will do it. Or just hot in general. You're outside. You'll do it. And I use koozies, not as much as others. But I hate that I have just a big trash can full of koozies. Like just overflowing. What am I going to do with all these? Just throw them away eventually.
Yeah, and they're a big deal down here, man.
Yeah, they are.
Somebody said they keep condensation from dripping on you. Baby, that drink ain't staying that long. We getting through it, man. Yeah, somebody said it's also because it's stinking hot. Your beer gets warm too fast without one. Get it
you
down there.
You babysitting the drink,
yeah,
man.
Get it down there, man. Yeah.
Babysitting, man.
Yeah.
And also, y'all seen me when we went to these tailgates. These drinks ain't lasting long.
They don't last very long. That's
Let's go, man. What are we doing? But yeah.
You got another one, Figgy?
These are my confessions. Sure, why not? My wife is all about this housewarming thing we got going on next month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. My bad. Let me
I got to confess. I sent y'all a little invite for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into it, man.
You're not into the housewarming?
Not really, man. I just... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm not really a party guy or everybody let's come over my house and celebrate type of guy. She's all into it, so I'm rolling with it. But I'm just like, man, like, all right. She like, oh, send it. Make sure you send it to everybody.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, did you send it to everybody? I'm like, all right. So I sent it to y'all two.
Yeah.
Y'all the only two I sent it to right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to confess, I'm kind of like, I'm nervous. I'm wondering, should I send it to the whole, like, 6-10 staff?
Hey, that's a tough decision. Then, then it starts, you know, compounding.
Yeah, what type of party are you trying to have?
I know that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not good with, like, throwing parties at the crib.
Then
like
it gets
that.
Big.
Yeah. And I know our team going to come through for me, man. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all always look out for me. But I'm like, man, I don't know what to do with this,
that's
man.
That's a tough call. That's a true. You got to figure that one out. Yeah.
Like I'd be fine if all of her coworkers and friends come over. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants some of my coworkers and my friends and stuff. I'm just like, man. Like,
hey, let's pull up.
Don't nobody care about that.
So it's gonna be a lot of her friends too.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So that's gonna be some. Awkward conversations.
The crossing over. That's why you need to make sure to invite everybody so that we could do the little Sports Radio 610 group.
What grade do you
teach? They can have their own group.
What grade do you teach?
Yeah, it's going to be like a...
Oh, you live in Pearland. Oh, okay. I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out, but time going by fast now. Yeah.
Sally got a good head on her brain. Head on her shoulders is what I'm going for. Free gifts, Figgy.
That's true.
Get them gifts.
But sometimes I don't be wanting to be a burden to everybody, man. Just like,
the people love you, Figgy.
Let me just do
it.
My thing and, you know, salute to y'all, man.
All right.
I'm going to start sending the invite to other people at 610 if you don't.
Forward it.
Because I know at least one person will absolutely show up with bells on. His name is Sean Pendergast.
He'll
be there for certain.
I might go on and do it.
Yeah, go ahead and do it. Because, again, I'm not joking. Like, I'm not saying this just for air. If you don't, I will. All right. You're in the loop right here. On Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you think Bregman misses Houston already?
Because
there's some drama. We'll do that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It sounds like now we've got listeners that are trying to pull up to Figgy's housewarming party. So it's about to be lit. Party of Figgy's is what's about to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be there. I'm trying to see if I can find some work or something.
Just to make it easy, I'll go ahead and post the date and time
and
address.
That is what's the Twitter account again?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so shout out to Figgy. And the housewarming party and the new house.
And the Hispanic girls
and
coming.
The dogs.
Someone,
all right.
Someone says Reggie's gonna slay at your party.
You're doing a lot.
Yeah. Come in speaking that Spanish.
y'all doing a lot. A lot. All right. How about this? Because there's a lot happening up there with Boston right now where Alex Bregman has signed. He's now a Red Sox. And it's looking like he might be playing third base, which is, you know, would make sense. He played third base. He was a gold glover. It's just a little disconcerting because they already had a third baseman. That was Rafael Devers. Mm-hmm. And he's not taking kindly to the idea that maybe, just maybe, he is getting his job taken from him. Devers immediately was like, no, I play third base.
Yeah. Actually, you want to hear from Devers? This is him addressing it.
How do you think that's going to work out for you?
No sé, mi posición en la tercera base.
There
no sé qué.
Come on, Reggie.
Que, como, ¿qué opinión ellos? ¿Cómo tu opinión? No, como te digo, ¿qué va a pasar? Si no, mi posición es mi tercera base y no me han dicho nada. Tuvimos una conversación, pero yo le dejé claro lo que quería y no hemos hablado más.
Yeah, I mean, third base is my position. It's what I've played. You know. I don't know what their plans are. Like, I know we had a conversation. I made it clear kind of what my desires were. And yeah, whatever happens I from here, I don't know.
What are
those
desires?
Your desires to play third base? ¿Cuál es tu preferencia? O sea, ¿qué tú deseas que pase en términos de tu posición?
Bueno, yo juego tercera base, yo no juego más otra posición, mi posición es tercera, de ahí para allá no sé qué ellos van a decidir, no controlo lo que ellos vayan a hacer, sino mi posición es tercera. Y
I'm trying to get through this at this point, man. He's like, I want to play third base, damn it.
Yeah, that's it. We could probably end it right there, but
third base is my position. Stop asking me dumb questions.
He went on to, they asked him specifically about changing, and he said, no.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
And he's nope.
Yeah. So Bregman has always been like the guy that just the heartbeat kind of, you know, so to speak. We all know Altuve's not really that guy. Others have come and gone. Bregman's always been the guy. And then he gets thrust into this, and he's smack in the middle of it. By the way, he's going to spend a lot of time around Devers because they're both going to be taking, you know, balls at third base. He knows Spanish. Which could be, you know,
Devers clearly.
Well,
I know you mean Alex Bregman. Yeah.
So he's always helped. He's always made things better.
Or should I say, claro?
Claro que sí. Does he kind of miss, you know, the common piece of the Astros clubhouse already?
I mean, jokingly, sure, but I think in all reality, look, he's got a huge ally in that clubhouse. His name is Alex Cora. Like, I imagine that was part of the deciding factor of him going there to play there was to, you know, go and, you know, rejoin with Cora and have, you know, somebody that he trusted in charge of what's going on there. And this was Alex Cora basically kind of talking about, or kind of not talking about, the decision with Devers.
Like I said a few days ago, like, decisions are going to be made here about, you know, roster construction and what we're going to do in the future. And we're going to make sure we have the best team possible out there, you know, and he has a lot of pride. We know that, you know, and he feels like he's a third baseman. He's going to work out as a third baseman, and then we're going to make decisions accordingly, you know. But I think here, it's not about Bregman or Devers or Cora. It's about the Red Sox, right? And whatever decision we make is for the benefit of the team.
So Devers not playing. It's Devers DHing then, right? Like, if you look at Devers, we talk about OAA, outs above average, one of those, you know, one of these few kind of defensive metrics that I at least I trust when it comes to kind of looking at defensive acumen. He is in, like, I believe, like the 8th percentile.
He's lower than that, I thought.
I think he was 13th of 15 starting third baseman.
Yeah.
When it comes to, the way that, his defensive play. I'll have to double check.
And Bregman was 5th.
Bregman was
very good. And a gold glove.
Yes, Bregman was very good. Eighth in OAA, 8th percentile in OAA. Like, and not like the arm strength was great anyways. Not that that's like going to be an absolute killer. But yeah, man, it's clear. Defensively, he's not been that great. Putting a better defender, a dude who just won a gold glove matters. But these are the things that's tough to navigate. I imagine they're going to have a lot of conversation to be had. You think Rafael Devers actually, like, is this one of those things where it's spring training, this is a thing now? By the time we get to opening day, everybody, like, tensions will have cooled, everybody heads would have, cooler heads would prevail, and everybody's just kind of fine and they go and play baseball? Or do you think this is going to be something that actually sees Rafael Devers find his way out or like have a level of
talking about asking for a trade.
Yeah, level of displeasure with the organization.
I mean, it sure did feel like he was sincere, right? I mean, he was just sort of
sure. I'm not saying he's insincere. I'm just wondering if this is one of those things that over the month of spring training, you get over it to the point where when it's time to play baseball, you're good.
No, I think it could get there, and I think the key thing is not just Bregman has to do Bregman like things. And not, you know, you just say, hey, you
know, not have a slow start.
This is, well, not have a slow start, but I'm saying this is, you know, whatever, you know, works best for the team. You know, I think Bregman might even offer to move elsewhere if there is such a thing, at least in some instances. But I think the number one thing is David Ortiz. David Ortiz needs to sit down with Rafael Devers and say, listen, you can become a Hall of Famer by just being a DH. You know, you can become something special by changing positions occasionally and being a DH because this is a Red Sox team. We've talked about, you know, Bregman, you know, the Red Sox had to do that big money deal because of the division they're in and because of the competition there. So their only chance is to have Devers, or I shouldn't say the only, but their best chance is to have Devers, you know, happy and swinging that bat.
And fair point. By 832 here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, $40 million will come for Bregman with all this with all the other discomfort or whatever other discomfort exists there. But yeah,
by the way, did you see his contract?
What do you mean?
Bregman's contract details, they came out today.
I missed that. I've been at work. I don't know if you know.
Hell of a deal. I mean, it's a great deal. He gets a salary of $35 million this year.
Nice.
$40 million in each of the next 2 years. And $60 million will be deferred from 2035 to 2046. He's going to be on that. Like, he's going to be getting $2 million a year or whatever it is until 2046 after getting this pile of money up front. That's awesome. And keep in mind.
And I think the cool thing about that, too, is he probably going to get another deal after this.
That's what I was going to say. Like, keep in mind, he gets another deal after this. Short term, long term, whatever, he's still getting the deferred money no matter what from 2035 to 2040.
When he long gone, he's going to be getting that $2 million a year.
Yeah,
I will say that is one of the things that makes me lean towards what you were saying on the day when we learned that it's signed, that he sees out the 4 years.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Three years.
Yeah. Sees out the 3 years as opposed to opts out and tries to head back to the market. The idea that they were willing to defer that money towards the backside of the deal would lean more to the idea that this is a Bregman who is willing to see out this Red Sox contract for those 3 seasons before coming back to the table. Whereas I thought that, hey, man, you can come to the table a lot sooner and see if you can get more money. If you're putting more of that money on the backside, maybe you look up and you go, hey, there's still more money, even more money to be had.
Yeah.
And you still go for those options. But yeah, it does feel like more of that money.
So
now,
he's got that coming no matter what for 11 years.
From the 936, it's just funny that Bregman had a teammate willing to change a position to accommodate him, but now there's a new team where someone doesn't want to accommodate him. It is funny, but it's also not completely accurate because clearly Altuve to left field was something that it was in place before we were talking about accommodating Bregman. Mm-hmm. They talked about that after the season end, according to Altuve, and it's very evident that this is something where they're concerned about the defensive play at second base.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when it comes to jokes being greater than facts, which sometimes I subscribe to, the joke is pretty funny where you're like, hey, we'll accommodate for you here. Now I go over there where they'll figure it. They don't necessarily want
to. It's my third base.
That's right. All right. Before we move it along here, I was looking at something that came through that was kind of interesting to me. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is out there, and it looks like he might be on the move as a trade possibility. The Blue Jays have been posturing to possibly send Vladdy in a trade after they've been unable to reach a long-term contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Astros exist in the odds of next team that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. plays?
Oh, I haven't seen that. I saw that.
I know, that's why I'm asking you now before you go and look.
Red Sox are on the mix. I know that.
Red Sox have the best odds at 3-1.
Yeah, I saw that. So I'm guessing Astros are on there.
Astros are on there. I mean, there's literally all the teams are on here in odds-wise, but yes, Astros are on here.
I'll say, are they top 10?
They are top 10.
Ooh.
Mm, okay.
I like that. 7?
Higher.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
3.
Third best odds. After the Red Sox, obviously 1. The Braves, 4-1 odds. 6-1 odds that the Astros would be Vladdy Guerrero's next team. Is that Vladdy Guerrero Jr., rather?
Where's he going to be? Where's he going to play?
That is the question. That is the question. But, like, that'd be a great bet. Would it not? Like, the idea of adding Vladdy, great.
What are you going to do?
Mr. Walker ain't going to be too happy, huh?
Well, Jordan is going to be the DH. I mean,
but Vladia, he's a
first baseman, but I mean, there's talk about he could play DH too.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like you already have DH. Yeah. You moving Jordan back to the outfield?
No,
there's no way to accommodate it. I just found that interesting that they have the Astros that high because I'm like, I don't know that it's a great bat. It's an incredible bat.
Either Christian Walker or Jordan.
It's an incredible bat. I just don't know.
It's funny how they're getting all these players and trying to move and squish positions,
man. Yeah.
Yeah, musical chairs. Just find a way to find somewhere to sit down and we'll figure it out. The bats, like, the lineup would be insane. Pitchers would hate it. And then batters would be like, oh, it's time to
finish. Hey, who cares about defense? We got Mike D'Antoni coaching
That's right. What is the equivalent of a 7 seconds or less offense in baseball? Someone give me an answer. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, what is your all-star report card for the Rockets? The Athletic put together their all-star, their grades for various teams at the break. We'll see what they had for the Rockets, but I'm interested in yours. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.